Well, some of you will know that we went to America recently, and for me at least, it was quite a culture shock. You know that they speak more or less the same language in America, but it is a different culture. But I came back with something ringing in my heart around the word environment. Now, that's a word that we hear a lot of to do with things around us, but it covers a lot wider issue. And what God really put into my heart was about a spiritual environment, and I want to share something about that this afternoon. You know, we can be in environments and not know within them. We often talk about the home environment. We often talk about the environment to do with how clean the countryside is and things like that. But when we're talking about the environment, we tend to think about things physical. But when you think about the home environment, it's really not so much talking about the physical. I don't know whether you've ever been into somewhere and you've gone in and you've stopped and nobody said anything, but you say, well, you could have cut the atmosphere with a knife. There's something about it. Nobody said anything at that point, but you know that there's something not right in that place. And it's to do with the spiritual environment. Now, when we went to America, we went into the state of Oklahoma, which is the southern part of America, and it's known as the Bible Belt. Now, I was curious whether that were just a nickname, but I looked in the dictionary, and it's actually in the dictionary. Bible Belt, the southern states of North America. So we went there, and the thing that hits you when you go there is there's loads of great big churches, massive churches. There's adverts throughout the place. They have these big giant posts with big sort of things across them, advertising things, and quite often there's Bible quotations in the adverts. The shops advertise and use biblical things in advertising. They're very open about the Christianity. In the place where we stayed, which is Broken Arrow, which was just outside Tulsa. Tulsa has some big Christian universities. If you've heard of Orwell Roberts, his university, he established a university there, and it has about 4,000 students. We had the privilege of going and having a tour around the place, and it's massive. And the buildings, he's actually got buildings that have a specific theme. He has one that's shaped like the Star of David. He has a tower that's built with I can't really explain it. It represents the crown of thorns. So that, and there's lots of things like that. But the whole atmosphere, as we went there, was an openness to God. We were just going on holiday. We were just visiting a family and staying with them and being part of them for a couple of weeks. But the whole atmosphere of the place, the area and everything, that they got God on board. Now, that's not the same in all of America. In some of America, things are happening, something like they're happening here. Because in this country, things are changing. I don't know whether you've realised, but things are changing. Now, let's just look at this word environment for a minute. It's to do with your surroundings, it's to do with your conditions and the circumstances around you. And it could be all sorts of things. If you go back to Genesis chapter 2 verse 8, it says, "And the Lord planted a garden towards the east in Eden, and there he placed the man who he had formed." Why did he do that? He prepared something for the man he had created. He created an environment. That's Genesis 2 verse 8. We know it as the Garden of Eden. God prepared that for Adam to go and live in. And it had everything. It wasn't contaminated. It wasn't dirty in any way. It was clean. And it provided everything that he needed in that garden. That was the environment that God prepared for Adam. But something changed. Something changed. The garden didn't change. The environment that God had created hadn't changed. Something had changed. And it was a spiritual change that took place, because Adam sinned. And Adam suffered the consequences of what he'd done. And he lost all the blessings and the benefit of that environment that God had put him in. We live in a number of environments, not just one environment. When you're thinking about a spiritual environment, you're talking about the situation that you're in, probably in different places. You'll have an environment at home. You might have an environment at school. You might have an environment at work, in the workplace, in the town that you live. If you look at wider issues, in the nation that you live, there are environments that we exist in, spiritual environments. We have come here because God called us to come to this place. We didn't choose to come here particularly. We were in a small Methodist church, to be honest, not doing very much, because we tried to evangelise and it just hadn't worked. When this opened up, God brought us here because of the opportunity. And it hasn't come without difficulty. But we've come into this place because of the environment in intake. Because the environment in intake needs God. Needs Jesus in this environment. We've come to change the environment. Now, we live in a nation that's changed quite substantially. Those that have been around above 50 years will realise that this country has changed a lot. In the Bible, countries change, nations change in history. It's recorded in the Word of God. If you look at the book of Kings, it lists through a number of kings, leaders. And sometimes they followed God, sometimes they went another way, and consequences followed. I've just picked one out, and it's in 1 Kings chapter 15. 1 Kings chapter 15. This is a king that was called Abijam. It says, Abijam, in verse 1, it says Abijam became king over Judah. Now he had a northern kingdom which was Judah and a southern kingdom which was Israel. He became king over Judah. Verse 3, it tells us that he walked in all the sins of his father. He had all the bad habits, all the bad traits that his father had. Now if you've got a son or a daughter, you will hope that they will pick up all the good traits. But he picked up all the bad traits. He walked in all the sins of his father. But it says in verse 4, it says, "But for David's sake, the Lord his God gave him a lamp in Jerusalem." God didn't deal with him according to what he was doing because of David. It says in verse 5, it says, "Because David did what was right in the sight of the Lord," God is being patient with Abijam. He's, although he's following the sins of his father, that God is trying to be patient to, well, we're not trying to, he is being patient with him in the chance that he would change. Verse 7, it tells us that there was war between Abijam and Jeroboam. It wasn't a peaceful kingship. But he died, and then his son became king. His son was Asa. In verse 8 it says, "Asa, his son, became king." Now in verse 11 it says, "And Asa did what was right in the sight of his father. And he put away a load of ungodly things from the nation that they'd taken on board through Abijam and through the ones that didn't follow God." So Asa tried to unwrap this and get rid of the rubbish, but he didn't do everything, but he did something to change. And what he was trying to do was change the spiritual environment of the nation, because it tells us quite often that when nations go a certain way, there are consequences. One of the extreme consequences we know, in the Old Testament, there was two cities called Sodom and Gomorrah. And they would really have gone down into sin of all sorts. They'd shut God out, and they'd got all the unsavory things you could think of. It was a horrible place to live. It had a horrible environment. And Lot lived there. Lot was trying to keep his faith together in a town and a city that was so horrible and chaotic, and it's what you call a despot. It had all the dirt and filth of morality and everything else. But God brought out Lot and his family out of that place, and he destroyed that city. He destroyed those cities because they were on a downward spiral, and they refused to repent. So judgment came upon those cities. So what is that to do with us and the environment? Well, if you look at this nation is following a path. This nation is taking on board things now which we knew were wrong. Some people sort of still existed in those wrong areas, but they knew they were doing wrong. Now they've brought those things into the main thoroughfare of life and saying they're not wrong anymore, they're okay. So our nation now is getting wrapped up in things that we shouldn't be. And it's not exclusively to our nation. It's happening in other nations as well. You see, what hit me was that when you go into another environment, you see something different, you sense something different. But then when you come back into your old environment, you notice more. Now, quite often the environment can change and we don't really notice because it happens over a long period of time. If you were living now in the, say, the 1950s, which was after the Second World War, a lot of suffering, a lot of pain, a lot of anguish had gone through in those years of the Second World War. And now some of you might have been involved in those days. I was born just after that war. People were so relieved for the war to be over that the attitudes became more open. I remember when we were a kid, you didn't have to lock your doors, you didn't have to hide things away. Everybody on the street knew everybody else, and that was a sort of places were like that, and it was good. If I played out in the street and I did something wrong, my parents would know because others had told me. If the policeman saw us, he would tell us, and probably tell us parents, and that's it. That would be it. We would be dealt with. Now things are all different. The whole sort of concept of law and control and obedience has changed. The morality has changed. In this nation now, the morality has changed so much in the last 50 years. This nation is turning its back on God. This nation is going away from God. You can no longer go out and speak about God freely as you used to be able to. When we had a new car. The new car we had, it was a 1980. We got this car, and we put on the back. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And we had it on the back windscreen. Lots of people had tests and other things on the back windscreen. Now you'd think twice about doing that because of the reaction that might come. But you were free to do things like that. Back in the days of Bentley Pentecostal Church, the ladies would invariably go with their hats on. They wouldn't be seen going to church without the hats on. That doesn't exist anymore. That came from a scripture that a lady must have her head covered in worship, because the head of the lady is the man, the head of the man is God. So it was Bible based. But these things change. The environments change. The environments change, and we tend not to notice when things happen slowly. But we are not free anymore. The Christian is being marginalised in the nation. But God's not marginalising the Christian. God is rallying the believer to do something about it. I believe that he's raising people up in government to do something about it. But you see, when things change for the worse, there are consequences. God is shut out of the schools. God is shut out of the families. God is shut out of the legislation that's been made. So that takes the nation on a path away from God. In the old days, in the Bible days, it would say they've gone to worship Baal, another god. Baal was a god, a deity, a sexual god, a god of things, god of materialistic things. So a lot of those things that Baal represents is where the nation is heading. So who's steering it? Who's steering it? We've seen churches across the land closing down. People aren't going anymore. The culture has changed. They have computers and televisions and all sorts of things like that now. So they're thinking, well, I'm self-contained. I can live in my sphere. I don't need God. But in their poverty and shutting God out, they're shutting the blessing out as well. In the homes round here, the families will exist without God. It's strange that the insurance still have act of God though in their policies, so that blame God when things go wrong. God, why have you done this? Why haven't you done that? Well, you shut me out. You know, I think Billy Graham's daughter wrote something about that, about America. It shut God out of the schools, shut God out of the families, and various other parts of their lives. And then when things go wrong, they wanted to know where God is. Well, God, being the gentleman he is, stepped back when they said they didn't want him. So that brings us back to here. We're here in All Saints. We're here in this building. It's a nice big building, but there's not so many of us. If we're here to change the environment, we're not just going to do it inside. It's great that Daniel Ian, they went and joined the Keep Fit Club, or the Weight Club, wherever it is they went for. But it's getting involved with the community. It's just getting beyond these doors and outside. We've got to start with ourselves though. We've got to get our environments right. What is the environment, the spiritual environment, like in your home? What is the spiritual environment in your heart? See, we need to impact families. We need to impact individuals. And we need to impact them spiritually and bring them to spiritual health. If the country wants to go one way, there's no reason why individuals should follow. But it is easy to follow the majority. If the trend is a certain way, and the nation is trending a certain direction, it's easier to flow that way. What we would not have allowed a few years ago is now allowed. Now, right doesn't become, or wrong doesn't become right. Right is right, and wrong is wrong. It doesn't change. But what becomes permissible might not have been permissible. See, it's no longer right and wrong. It's no longer the right and the wrong. It's what's permissible or what not is not permissible. So we're allowing things now in our lives, in our cultures, that we wouldn't have allowed some years ago. This is the basis of right and wrong. The Word of God is the basis of right and wrong. And America has it in their constitution. What are they wanting to do? They're wanting to take God out of the constitution. And it's all based on this. They're wanting to take God out because they want to make laws that conflict with this. Our nation wanting to make laws that conflict with this. So they're no longer looking at right and wrong. So God is denied in our laws. God is excluded from our schools. The Christian is being marginalised. Marriage is no longer considered holy. They used to call it holy matrimony. Holy matrimony. Now you can get married in the registry office and get divorced in the registry office or whatever. Everything happens outside of marriage now that happened in marriage. The physical side. The spiritual health of the nation is sick. So, why am I bringing this message? Well, God was challenging me. It's not enough for us to be in here. It just isn't enough. God's got this building for us. But I think God wants to see results. And then, you see, if we fill this building, the church authorities cannot deny handing it over. If there's only a few of us, then we've got a challenge. We've got a challenge to fill this building. And we can't do it by just thinking people are just going to come in. We've got to engage with the community, like Daniel and Ian have done, in the sense of going to the swimming club. But something's got to happen. Luke chapter 16 and verse 15. This is Jesus talking. First of all, in verse 14, he reproached them for their unbelief. And then he says, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all nations." And it's in verse 20, it says, "And they went out and preached everywhere." It's a funny thing about the British culture. Well, it's probably in other cultures as well, that we live from building to building. We go from one building to another building to another building. Probably because of the climate, the weather climate, we're not used to being outdoors people in our general living. We do our general living indoors. But there's families out here, the same, living their lives indoors. There'll be people that live on their own in this area. At this Christmas time, they'll be lonely. They'll be on their own. Nobody to turn to. We don't know who they are. The challenge is for us to go and find out. See, in Matthew chapter 28, in verse 17, he states that some were doubtful. But then he says in verse 19, he says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations." He's telling us to go and make disciples, not to wait for disciples to come in. So I think it's changing how perception. There's an instance that Jesus told a parable in Luke chapter 14, verse 23. It's about the parable of the dinner, when people are invited in, and they didn't want to come. They just didn't want to come. They found all sorts of excuses not to come. So the host tells them in verse 23, he says, go out into the highways and along the hedges and compel them to come in. That word compel is persuade. To make a real case for them coming in. Now this is talking about going into the highways and along the hedges and compelling them. But it means go and gather in. Go and gather in those that are on the outside, are on the fringes that nobody cares about. Go out and grab them and get hold of them. Because if we're going to change the spiritual environment, I think God is challenging us to do something about it. My concern is that sort of identifying what specifically we do. It's all right saying, oh yeah, it's nice to go and gather them in, but if we're going to change the environment, we have to get involved. We have to get involved. When we were at the other place we were at, around where the high flights are in Doncaster, there was such security on those blocks of flats that you don't want even to get through the main door. People live in fear. People around here will live in fear. Those that are elderly perhaps and live on their own will often be frightened people. They need to know that God loves them and God cares for them. God who placed his angels around them and give them peace. You know, when you look at Jesus and the things that he did and what he did, he went into situations and he took his environment to them. If you think about when they were on the sea, he's in the boat, he's asleep on the sea. And they panicking. They were panicking, thinking they were going to sink. They were frightened. We would probably have been frightened too in that situation. And God speaks to the weather. Speaks to the sea, says, peace, be still. He didn't stay on the bank, leaving them out in the storm. He was there in the storm. He was there. And he told the weather to be still. Jesus went to places of death. He went to where Lazarus was. That would have been an atmosphere of death around there. They were moaning and crying because he was dead. He'd been dead 4 days. Jesus took his environment there and he says, come out. Life. He spoke it right into him. They didn't understand. Because he says, by that time they'll think he's been dead 3-4 days. He's in a hot climate. It's not his body's going to decay straight away. But Jesus was right in there. Jesus got hold of the leper. He didn't just talk from a distance to him. He got hold of the leper. You don't touch lepers. You get infected. You get leprosy. You'll be unclean. No, Jesus got in. He got right into the situation. But he did not get sucked into their climate. He didn't get sucked into their environment. See, I remember once being told about a minister, and his daughter got stung by a bee. And the child's screaming. And he went in. And he wanted to pray for her, but he was so caught up with the pain that she was in. He had to come out. He had to come out. And get his heart right on the right wavelength to be able to challenge that pain, to challenge that hurt in that child. So then he went back in and he prayed. If we're going to get involved and be a church that's going to be a real church, with all the wonderful things that come with it and all the problems that come with it as well, we have to challenge ourselves and get into the spiritual atmosphere of this area. But you don't take the atmosphere on board, you take the Spirit of God. When you go into the families, the individuals in the homes, we take the Spirit of God there. We take the love of God there. We take the invitation of God there. And it starts making a difference. While we're in behind closed doors, that cannot happen. We can make little bits of inroads, but we cannot make it happen. As a nation, or as part of a nation, we have to swim upstream. The whole lot of rubbish is drifting down the river of this nation. We've got to swim upstream. And it isn't easy at all. I think the challenge that God's put before me is to get involved outside. To get involved in the community some way, somehow. I'd had one or two thoughts of how we could sort of go about that, but we have to look at the community, because they're the ones that need Jesus. We see the family across the road there in turmoil, number of times in turmoil. But I know Andrew has been to see them at times and challenged them. There must be loads more around the area that we need to get in touch with, and we need to contact, we need to find for Jesus. Because if we don't build this church, or if God doesn't build this church through us, then we've failed. We're here for a specific reason. It's not for us to just sit in here and just have a happy clappy time and go home and that's it. God's got us here to get involved and make a difference. God must love the people around here. God wants to see a climate change in intake, a spiritual climate change in intake. And we're here to help to make that happen. We're here in obedience to God. And if God says go out and do it, then we've got to be prepared to go out and do it. So I know it's a bit of a challenge today. I don't normally share challenging words, but it's important. In your home situation, your home circumstances, your challenge first of all is identify what spiritual environment your home is in. Then look at what spiritual environment perhaps your street is in, or your workplace is in, or your school is in. The challenge is to each one of us. Our surroundings, our conditions, and our circumstances that we exist in. We don't have to go with the flow. It's time that we stood up and be counted and let God move through us and really make a difference in this community. Amen.